Kevin and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, and I have a bone to pick with our Midday Show DVD with hosts Adam Vingan, Derek Mason, and Willie Donick. I believe they owe me and you an apology. And here's why I think they owe me and you an apology. Because yesterday, Brian Callahan got up in front of the media and he was asked about L'Jarius Sneed, and he said that L'Jarius Sneed is still recovering from the quad and knee injuries that he has been managing. And they took the cheese and apparently are still taking the cheese on L'Jarius Sneed's knee and quad. I have to believe at this point in time, most people, even the people that said, let Rand cook, even the people that ignored the fact that Minnesota pulled their offer when it came to L'Jarius Sneed because the medicals were so bad, even though the fact that we played cuts, Carrington Harrison, who does afternoon radio in Kansas City, was saying before Sneed got traded that the knees are worse than you think and he should just take the money and not try to negotiate for more. And you said, what's he know? I think even most of you have realized, yeah, this L'Jarius Sneed thing is a problem. If you'll remember last year, L'Jarius Sneed bruised his quad. But it goes back even further than that. It goes back to when the Titans were the only team in the NFL that would trade for L'Jarius Sneed. And they had L'Jarius Sneed on the show. And to their credit, they asked, Caroline was doing the show at that point, they asked Sneed about the knees. And Sneed said, L'Jarius Sneed's knees are fine. Titan fans, you don't have anything to worry about with L'Jarius Sneed's knees. They, on the Midday Show, said that he would be fine. He'll be fine because he didn't miss games in Kansas City, even though the rest of the league was skeptical. They insisted that last year, because the Titans said it was a quad injury, that it had to be a quad injury. And in December of last year, they were saying there's no chance the Titans could be lying about this. So let's go through this Sneed timeline. On October 13th of 2024, L'Jarius Sneed played 69 of a possible 70 snaps versus the Indianapolis Colts, in which he made the final Tennessee Titans tackle of the game with 22 seconds to go. I have actually watched the film of that play, and if anybody's quad got hit by a helmet, it was the Indianapolis player getting hit by L'Jarius Sneed's helmet. But again, he played 69 of a possible 70 snaps and made the last tackle with 22 seconds to go. Then it was announced that L'Jarius Sneed would be out with a quad bruise, in which it was reported that he took a helmet to the quad suffered in the game. And I didn't complain about that at first because I said, hey, maybe they're telling the truth. I don't know. Then he missed one game. Then he missed two games. Then he missed three games. Then Brian Callahan held a press conference where he was asked on Monday if Sneed was going to be able to play, and he said no. And I thought, well, wait a minute, hold on. Quad bruise? And he's out? And on November 7th, almost a month after the helmet to the quad, I said, okay, what gives? I made the joke. Was it a Roman battle helmet with a spike at the top of it that penetrated L'Jarius Sneed's quad? Then on November 23rd, Brian Callahan announced that Sneed would be going on IR with a quad strain and a quad bruise. So they already lied about the injury because they said it was just a bruise from a helmet to the quad. And now they're saying, well, it was actually a quad strain and a quad bruise. And they were putting him on IR because it just wasn't getting better. Darn. Of course, at this point, I'm done believing the Titans and their bullcrap, but not the Midday Show. They defended the Titans, and they said, you can't get on the Titans, Jared. It's a quad, not the knee. Take that, even though the quad is connected to the knee. Then, unbeknownst to all of us at the time, after LeJarius Sneed was involved, allegedly, in shooting up a car dealership in Houston, Sneed showed up back in the locker room in December and told everyone he had a bone marrow injection and was in a brace 6 weeks after he said that he had the bone marrow injection. I talked to a doctor who works on NFL players who said, quote, you wouldn't be in a brace for 6 weeks from an injection. So I knew that was bullcrap. Well, it's the quad. He had the injection, and that's why he's got the brace, and that's why he's got the... And again, a doctor who works on NFL players said, you wouldn't be in a brace for that. Told me what is probably more likely is LeJarius Sneed had a cartilage surgery on his knee called OATS, O-A-T-S, and that it was probably the knee. That's what that doctor told me. Yesterday, Derek yelled at me. He said, oh, no, 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 no. You didn't talk to the doctor who diagnosed LeJarius Sneed. Right. But if you talked to a dentist and you said, yeah, I had a cavity, and they gave you an enema, he would say, probably not what we would do for a cavity. I think this is kind of the same. And here we are now. 220 days after LeJarius Sneed had, as the Titan said, a helmet to the quad, and Brian Callahan says he is still recovering from the helmet to the quad on October 13th. By the way, had LeJarius Sneed torn the quad off the bone, he should be healed by now. And yet, the Midday Show will not back down. They will not admit, we took the cheese. We listened to the Titans. We shouldn't have listened to the Titans. The Titans, who are notorious for lying about everything, may have lied this time. No, no, no. They say that because the Titans said it was the quad, again, which is connected to the knee, then it must be the quad. Common sense, medical professionals, be damned, they don't know what they're talking about. The Titans said it was a quad. It was a quad. Let Rand cook. I am incredibly disappointed. I know those guys. I know them very well. I've known all three for 10 years. I know the educations they received, and I know they're smarter than this. And I know you all are smarter than that. The Titans lied about LeJarius Sneed. They've already admitted to one lie when they initially said it was a quad bruise, and then Brian Callahan came out and said it was a quad strain and a quad bruise. So why would you just assume that they were done lying at that point? My guess is they knew. And remember, at the time, Rand Carthon was the general manager. He was the one that made the trade for Sneed. And they were all working together. My guess is they knew that after they gave Sneed $50 million, and we talked about his knees nonstop, that if his knees were the issue, which failed him 5 games into a $50 million guaranteed contract, they would look like complete and total dopes. Completely incompetent. So they lied. They said it was the quad. Maybe Sneed did get that injection. I don't know. But again, like a doctor, somebody who went to school, somebody who makes a bunch of money, who works on NFL players, told me, you wouldn't be in a brace 6 weeks after having an injection in the quad. But not the Midday Show. They think it's all on the up and up. And I think even they're smarter than that. So I think they owe me an apology after they constantly push back. And I think they owe you an apology. Because, again, They should know better than to just take the Titans' word for it. Come on now. 615-737-1025, which is the phone number, 615-737-1025. And there is a reality that needs to be addressed when it comes to the Titans and L'Jarius Sneed, and we'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
Rehab. Are you talking knee? Are you talking quad? Are you talking both? And where is he in terms of full participation?
I mean, it's both. I mean, the knee is something that you manage all the time. And then, you know, for the quad injuries, it has taken some time to rehab from. So those things are still kind of ongoing, you know, simultaneously. It's all part of the process for him. But he's in a great place. I'm excited about where he's at. He's progressing as expected.
There you go. Progressing as expected, Brian Callahan said. Even though they said last year, you know, oh, no, it was a knee bruise, quad injury, so on and so forth. I mean, give me a break. Like, just give me a break. Adam Vingan texted me, and he said, to be fair, in all caps, to be fair, I acknowledged yesterday that I could be wrong. So I did not hear that part. All I heard was the three of them yesterday. Derek yelling, you didn't talk to the doctor when it came to you didn't talk to the doctor who examined L'Jarius Sneed. And Derek also thinks I have to get a second opinion. Because, again, I had the one doctor. I took something that TD reported about Sneed wearing a brace in the locker room, saying that he had gotten the bone marrow injection or the bone injection 6 weeks prior. I sent that. I screenshotted that and sent that to a doctor who works on NFL players who, again, the reply was you wouldn't be in a brace for 6 weeks if it was a quad. You wouldn't be. You would not be for an injection 6 weeks. You just wouldn't. That wouldn't be the case. And I understand that me and other media people don't know that, but this guy knows it. And Derek's still saying, well, he doesn't know. Actually, I think he does. And you can't talk to the doctor because, again, that's against the law. But, hey, maybe the Titans really got it figured out. Here's the deal. Okay, when it comes to the Titans and L'Jarius Sneed, and I'm just being honest here, let's call it like it is. Even if you wanted to believe that I was wrong last year, let's just admit now, the Chiefs knew L'Jarius Sneed was a ticking time bomb. Whether it was the knee, whether it was the person, they knew. And they were not going to commit long-term to L'Jarius Sneed. The rest of the league was not going to commit to Sneed. Minnesota pulled their offer when they found out the details about his knee. And Rand Carthon was the only one who was incompetent enough to do it. And I guess Chad Brinker wasn't important enough or couldn't convince Rand, even though he was technically the president of football operations at the time, to not do it. In fact, he negotiated the trade, which was a very bad trade for the Titans. And they're going to have to pay Sneed for this upcoming season unless the commissioner suspends him. But to expect that L'Jarius Sneed is going to help the Titans or is going to start for the Titans or anything like that at this point is just foolish. It was a mistake. They lit a third-round draft pick and $50 million in cash on fire. I saw while I was on vacation, PK put out a report that the tariffs may have an impact on Nissan Stadium. The Titans are responsible for the overruns there. That's why I don't think it's crazy that the Titans were given a budget of what they could spend on their football team, and that was why they felt the need to have to take Cam Ward. Let's go to our phones, which is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Daryl is up next here on our program. Daryl, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Jared. I remember this AIJ talked to you about these new innovative tools that other teams didn't have. He inferred quite a bit that, you know, we're just a smarter organization now. We're not going to make the dumb mistakes of the past because any, you know, we went into the business about AI curing cancer and all that crap. But I don't know how Brinker has gone unscathed with all these stupid trades and signings and draft picks while Rand rightfully got fired. How did Brinker not get fired? He's going to get fired at the end of the year. because they're going to have a bad year. This left tackle is going to turn out to be a joke. The quarterback is going to get killed. I predict
easy on the left tackle. I agree that the quarterback's going to get killed, but I don't think the left tackle sucks that bad. But I hear what you're saying.
Okay, irrespective. You know, Brinker went on the air and publicly announced, inferred anyway, we are smarter than the other guys. And he's turned out to be not quite as smart as the other guys. So I think it'll be time for Brinker to go at the end of the year. He's going to wear out his welcome. But I'm just flabbergasted that he's been unscathed through all this crap.
Yeah, I don't know what Amy sees in him. And I mean this with all due respect, you know, with Brinker. I'm not coming out and saying, like, you know, Brinker's a moron because. But I am saying that he's not qualified for this job. And not one person over there has been able to convince me why Chad Brinker is qualified, why he was deserving of a promotion. I asked him, you know, because he did do that podcast in which he basically said on the podcast, Ran is the greatest you will see. Our analytics are the greatest you will see. Brian Callahan is the greatest you will see. The cohesion between us and Anthony Robinson is incredible. You will see. And in turn, Rand got fired. Brinker got promoted. The team was the worst in the NFL. Callahan, again, jury's out, but it ain't looking good. And Brinker himself fired Anthony Robinson. I remember that podcast specifically. And, of course, we played the crap out of that AI cancer curing cut because it was so absurd, so absurd. So we played that cut a bunch. But the podcast in general, I remember, you know, the For You tab, I think, had just become a thing on Twitter. And I see on the For You tab a bunch of Titan fans saying, you've got to hear this Titan podcast with Chad Brinker. Again, at this point, they've promoted Chad Brinker to president of football operations. They've promoted Rand to vice president, said he's in charge of the roster. I don't know organizations where vice president outranks president. So I don't even know who does what at this point. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to listen to this podcast. People on Twitter are saying that, hey, this thing is legit and these guys are, you know, great, and let me hear it and let me see. So I went on a long walk. This was the Saturday before I went to Las Vegas for the Super Bowl between San Francisco and Kansas City. And so I went on a long walk. You know, the kind of walks you can go on in the middle of Saturday when you don't have any dogs and you don't have a kid and you don't have any of that stuff. I went on a long walk and I listened to the podcast. I even texted somebody from the Titans and said, this was the biggest load of bullcrap I've ever listened to in my life. And I listened to this podcast, and the call is right. Brinker was just bragging about Ran and how great he was, and just bragging about how they're smarter in their analytics department and everything he learned in Green Bay and Anthony Robinson, and you'll see, you don't understand. And all three of the people there, you know, Mike Keith and Dave McGinnis and Rhett Bryan and the hired gun, Ramon Foster, they're just sitting there just yapping it up. You know, just everything Brinker's, oh my God, this is great. I'm like, I don't even know what this guy does. What does he do? And so for the season to go as poorly as it did, and for Brinker to have been on record saying what he said at that time, and for him to be the one who, again, is promoted into a higher position of power, it's never made any sense to me. But again, it's the Titans. And when you have an option, and there's the smart option, the controversial option, or just the flat-out incompetent option, the Titans, over the last 4 or 5 years, have always chosen the incompetent option. Every time. Whether it's letting Derrick Henry walk for nothing, or whether it's, again, making Rand Carthon the chief in charge and punting on Mike Vrabel. Every time. So, I don't have a lot of hope. You know, one texter was talking about Mike Borgonzi and was saying that between the draft and bringing in Tyler Lockett, I feel like Borgonzi is putting an emphasis on leadership. Rand didn't have a philosophy when it came to team building. I'm optimistic with this new regime. What about the draft? Well, you know, hey, the draft is really, I'm really optimistic about the draft. Well, we haven't seen any of these players play. I mean, yeah, it's easy to look at Ola Adeyemi without a shirt, or Ola Adeyemi. That's not his name. Who's Ola Adeyemi? Ola Adeyemi was on the team when Vrabel coached. Femi Olaf, whatever, the second round pick, Femi. Ola Dejo. It's easy to look at him without it saying, look at him, I mean, he's jacked. Can he rush the quarterback? Because he had 4.5 sacks in college last year. I'm not here to tell you the draft class stinks or that it's, you know, 2016 or 2019. I'm not here to tell you that because I don't know. But too many of you are pretending like, oh, no, this draft class is incredible. Everybody thinks their draft class is incredible. Everybody. Very few teams will actually end up with incredible draft classes. Skyler said, Snead got the contract, and he's not trying to play for this awful team. I heard that there were some locker room issues last season when it came to Snead playing on a bad team. I heard it. Don't know if it's true, but that was kind of the rumor. 615-737-1025. Jordan Schultz sent me a tweet. Reed, I don't know if you've seen this. Like, maybe this is just a thing that everybody knows, and Reed and Schultz is one of the people reporting it, or they're all reporting it, or he's reporting it. But apparently the Titans have agreed to a four-year, $48.75 million fully guaranteed contract with Cam Ward, $32.1 million in signing bonus.
Run those numbers again.
Four years, 48. Yeah, 4 years, 49, basically, with 32 guarantee, with 32 signing. But again, all this stuff's slotted. Who cares?
Yeah.
That is not a. Back in the day,
I'll wait,
you know,
for
I mean,
PK
I remember.
That. Coming from Schultz, I'll wait for PK to confirm it.
Yeah, they're best buddies. Okay, the Titans have put out a video of Cam Ward signing his contract. Again, I don't know, like, to be excited about, like. Oh, my God, he signed his contract. This is not 2006 where it was like, man, I mean, getting these contracts signed was something. Now it's all slotted. Who cares? 615-737-1025, which is more, which is our phone number. More of your phone, 615-737-1025. So there is something PK is demanding from the Titans. Speaking of PK, that for a Hall of Fame voter, I think this gobbledygook goes into the Hall of Fame of stupid. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.
Some of those numbers for Dan Moore last year weren't necessarily great in terms of pass blocking. What do you feel like, you know, what gave you guys the confidence that you guys went after him right away and you know, gave him a healthy contract? What's the confidence there that he is the guy, kind of the answer at left tackle?
Yeah, I think you watch all those things. You know, you watch the sacks they give up, you watch the pressures they give up, you watch penalties, and you try to determine what's fixable and maybe what isn't and what you're okay with. And there's things that I think he can be corrected in technique-wise that are going to help him a lot. There's some things that, you know, sometimes you just get beat by good players, which the AFC North has a few of them, and we'll see a few of them ourselves. And so there's that part of it, and how can you help in those situations schematically? But, yeah, you watch all of it, and you have to go through and you see what's fixable and what maybe isn't fixable, but you can help with the process of it. So there's no perfect player. They're all going to have things that they got to get better at, and we felt really comfortable with Dan, and he's been fantastic since he's been here in that regard. So excited to have him.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan talking about the left tackle, Dan Moore. So I have to get to this take from Paul Kaharsky because of all the things Paul said, again, he's a Hall of Fame voter. He should know how the NFL works. And I heard him today, you know, on his high horse about the offensive line. He should be happy that he finally got to talk to Dan Moore. But he was talking about the offensive line, and he has decided unequivocally that he will not accept the Titans' offensive line, which will have a new left tackle, Dan Moore, a new right guard, Kevin Zeitler, a new right tackle, J.C. Latham, and an injured center, Lloyd Cushenberry, who knows when he'll be ready to come back. That he does not want any time for them to come together, and they better be ready by week one at Denver. Here's what PK said.
You know, you don't want it to be a disaster.
No.
for him personally. you could see it being a disaster for the team. It's a tough start at altitude, a lot of new guys, all of that. The two things I'd say about that game is no excuses for the offensive line in terms of cohesion and all of that, which is a big theme for me.
Yep.
They need to be good out of the gate. And, you know, no disastrous start for Cam like you got from Levis last year on the road.
Okay. I can roll with the, hey, no disastrous start where you hand the ball and the game to the other team. That I don't have a problem with. But this idea of no time for the offensive line to come together, they better be ready by week one for a Hall of Fame voter, is a Hall of Fame level stupid take. That's not how the NFL works. And anybody whose job is based on covering the NFL should know that. This offensive line is going to be a work in progress. Again, the league is different than it was 20 years ago. They don't have two-a-days with practices and pads anymore. They get to training camp. You don't wear a pad until you get to training camp. Then you get to training camp. You spend the first couple of days in the shells, and then you only get a certain number of padded practices. Then you get three preseason games, not four. And nobody plays in the preseason anymore, especially the Titans. So, you're going to expect the Titans with, I don't know, eight padded practices with a center who is coming off of a torn Achilles to be ready to go and ready and locked in to protect a quarterback by week one on the road in one of the most hostile environments in the NFL at altitude, where you're going to have to go to the silent count. That's not how the NFL works. That is an unreasonable expectation for any offensive line in the NFL, much less the Titans. That is an absolutely unreasonable expectation. So, with very little real practice, because again, offensive, defensive linemen, if you're not wearing pads, it's not practice. It's just technique work. It's just a walkthrough, you know, going over the scheme. That's what it is. All right, you block him, you block him, you block him, you block him. All right, let's go through it. 58, hike. That's it. It's not pushing, shoving, pulling. It's none of that. The only way you get in shape in the NFL is to play football. So, if Paul wants this, the only way I could see this happening is if the Titans decided that they wanted to be the one team out of 32. And again, if I own the team and my head coach came up to me and said, hey, I am totally for the idea of playing everybody, all of my offensive linemen in the preseason for the most part, I wouldn't push back against it as an owner because I'm not one of these people that says, well, what if Johnny Joe gets hurt? Because I don't believe you play football scared. I mean, they're going to let him play in the Olympics, so might as well let him play in the preseason. But unless the Titans decide we're going to be the one team that plays our offensive line at all three preseason games, and we're going to play them, you know, a half in the first game, a full game in the second game, and three quarters in the third game, there's no shot, zero, that offensive line is, A, going to be in shape week one. Nobody's offensive line is going to be in shape week one. Your offensive line is going to be playing at altitude, which is going to make it even harder. Two, that your offensive line is going to be a cohesive unit because, once again, they haven't played together. The left tackle has never played next to the left guard. The right guard has never played next to the center, and the right guard has never played next to the right tackle. That does not happen on day one where, hey, I got you, you got me. You do not just all of a sudden out of nowhere develop chemistry with people on the first day. That would be like starting a new job, being told, here's the microphone, go take us to number one. Well, hold on. These things take time. Now, somebody who has taken people to number one, I'll tell you, it takes time. It takes time. And you may not be patient because the offensive line has been a disaster for the last 3 years. It has been a train wreck. It has been abysmal with bad coaching from Mike Vrabel and his cronies. And last year with PT and those bozos out there. But that doesn't change the reality that, well, they spent money in the offseason, so now everybody should be ready by week one. That's not how this league works. So just expect that it's going to take some time during the season for the offense there. You know, again, Paul's saying they need to be ready week one. Well, I'm just going to tell you they're not going to be ready week one. So now what do you do? That's the better question. You're going up against all pros. Benito, Allen, on the road at altitude. And again, Denver is one of the hardest places to play. You will have to be on the silent count. So now what do you, not let's just make up this unfathomable, again, I say unfathomable in a good way. Usually there's negative connotations there. But let's come up with this unrealistic idea and let's just say you're going to, it's going to work. Good luck. 615-737-1025. More of your phones on the Titans. We'll get to that. 615-737-1025. Stillman Company, 105, 106 for the game.
Would Cam, going into that, need to beat out the other three quarterbacks that are on the roster? Or are you kind of in a spot where Cam needs to have maybe just enough of a grip on what's going on in your system to have confidence in him to draw that first start?
Yeah, I think it's there's so much work to be done between now and then, you know, particularly for him. So many things that you have to learn as a young quarterback. So I don't get too far down that road personally with him. We're focused on the next day, really, at this point. I'm trying to get him up to speed as fast as possible and get him ready so he can go compete and go compete for a job. And that's ultimately where it all lands right now. So not going to make too many proclamations about that. About September here in May. So feel good about where we're at and the work he's put in, and we'll get there when we get there.
Well done by Brian Callahan to avoid saying really anything there. But, boy, Titan fans got mad about that, about Cam Ward asked to earn the job. What do you mean? And I said, look, I think I would sit Cam Ward the first game at Denver and maybe the second game against the Rams, and I would do it because – once again, it is not about Cam necessarily, but the offensive line is going to need a couple of weeks to gel. Denver is going to be a very tough start for him. Silent count on the road, very hostile environment. Denver is one of two places in the NFL. Seattle is the other, where the fans absolutely make a difference. So let's stick Brandon Allen out there, stick Will Levis out there, and, you know, move on to Indianapolis week three. Put Cam out there if he's ready. And these fans on Twitter are like, you're an idiot, Jared! You've never seen Cam take a snap in the National Football League. He hasn't taken a snap in a practice, like a real snap in a real practice where he's wearing a helmet. Has not taken a snap in a game, a preseason game. If you think that it is crazy that he may not be ready week one or that it may not be in his best interest to go out there week one, then you're just an 8-year-old. You're just sitting there saying, I want my quarterback and I want it now. And I just don't believe in that. Let's go to your phones. Kenny has been waiting patiently and is up next here on the program. Kenny, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Jared, I think that you are you're overlooking something when you say that the offensive line can't be ready by week one. You have completely forgotten about the four H's. Those offensive line to know each other's heartbreak. And once you know somebody's heartbreak, you can stop any left tackle in the defensive end in the NFL.
You know, I'm going to say that's a joke, Kenny. Thank you for your call. I'm going to assume that's a joke. You know, yesterday to the Brian Callahan, let's get around the campfire and sing Kumbaya at OTAs, and that will solve all of our problems. But if you're not joking, then I am incredibly disappointed. One texter says that Jared from Spring Hill says, PK, talking about Paul Kaharsky, PK is a big fan of this off-season team-building crap, so maybe he believes this off-season accountability point system can propel the offensive line into cohesion and into comprehension. So I did not hear PK say that he's for the team-building, remember the Titans, Disney Plus stuff. I'd be shocked if he actually was. And I did listen to some of that show today. I would be shocked. I'm shocked. Reed, did you hear it?
I didn't hear it, but he and I had a text exchange yesterday that would lead me to believe that he is on board with them doing something different. And he thinks at some point this is going to lead to some type of, not necessarily a reward system, but these guys who are making these mistakes and getting these negative points are going to have to run. And then I was going back and forth with him, like, has running laps ever stopped a millionaire offensive lineman from jumping off sides? And will it ever in the future? So, and that was kind of the end of the conversation that we had. But the exchange that we had privately kind of leads me to believe that he's on board, maybe not necessarily with this, but them trying something different.
As somebody who's known PK longer than I have, does that disappoint you?
Yes, it disappoints me because in another life, in another building in this town, had we been forced to sit down and share our heartbreaks and hopes with our colleagues, he would have got up and walked out the door. But it's okay. It's okay for multimillionaire professional athletes for some reason.
I don't understand this. Again, I know that Paul questions when I say that Floyd said something. He questions it. I mean, that was like people last year in the text line that were saying, you know, you don't understand what Floyd meant when he told you the right tackle story. And I'm like, there were two people in the room, me and him. And I know what he said. I heard it. I know what it was. And I know what he meant. And so I'm just going to tell you this. Floyd told me that players only respond to two things. Money and playing time. It's the only currency they understand. You can yell at them. You can run them. You can kick them out of meetings. You can kick them out of practice. You can. The only two things they care about are money and playing time. That's it. And doesn't that kind of make sense? Again, if you go up to Tony Pollard and you say, Tony Pollard, your team lost the competition this week, so you owe me 15 laps at voluntary practice. Can't he just say, no thanks. Voluntary practice? No thank you. I'm out. Can't he just say that? You go up to Tony Pollard and you say, Tony Pollard, I'm fining you $250,000, and with this conduct detrimental to the team, I'm voiding your guaranteed money. You think he'd care about it now? You see the difference? Hey, Tony Pollard, I'm sitting you on the bench, and I'm going to play somebody else. Again, players understand two things, money and playing time. The fact that Paul thinks that them getting around in a circle and singing Kumbaya is going to change anything, is going to make this team more accountable, is a joke. Like, that is a joke. If that is, in fact, how he feels, which it sounds like. If that is the way he feels, then that is the way he feels. Chad Withrow from Outkick. Joe is in New York with The Athletic. So Chad moves up to Wednesday. He will join us next. I'm going to company 125 The Game.